Johnston had tightened his picket lines to curb deserters or prisoners from escaping to alert the Federals. But Pinkerton did not notice those sources drying up, which would be a tip-off. In what amounted to an embarrassing post-mortem, Pinkerton's agents interviewed runaways, refugees, and deserters to piece together a chronology of just how Johnston's army slipped out from under their noses. The interrogations revealed that the rebels who retreated had been poorly fed, clothed, and shod, and their horses and mules were in sad condition from months of little forage. The interviews also turned up evidence of Confederate atrocities during the escape. 15 runaways reported that owners ordered slaves executed so they would not fall into the hands of the Yankees. Within hours of receiving Pinkerton's telegram, McClellan ordered 2 cavalry regiments forward to probe what happened. The next day, he led much of his army of 112,000 on what amounted to a rehearsal march to Centerville and Manassas to see for himself. What he and the reporters tagging along found proved to be even more embarrassing for the commanding general. Johnston's camp had deserted huts for only about half the men McClellan thought had been there. Several artillery redoubts had logs painted black to fool McClellan's scouts and Pinkerton's observers into thinking they were cannon. They came to be known as Quaker guns, and the press had a field day with them. Proof positive of the cowardice or inefficiency of General McClellan, railed the New York Times. 3 days later, Lafayette Baker arrived with his detectives to collect evidence that Johnston's force had been less than Pinkerton reported, and to browse around the Quaker guns, gloat over McClellan's folly, and arrest Union stragglers pocketing battlefield souvenirs, looting homes, and abusing the locals.